We're very thankful for the few faithful ones that are here that come from time to time and meet with us regularly, and for the opportunity that God gives us to do so. To be here today, to have this fellowship in Christ Jesus, in song and prayer, worship and study of God's Word. We are mindful of those who are sick, prayerful, or those that are hindered because of sickness to be here, but hopefully, prayerfully, they will be all right and be with us again soon. Thus far in our study of Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, we have studied where Christ first silenced the Jewish leaders, the high priests, the scribes, and the elders, with a parable that he spoke, describing their history, the rebellious history of the Jewish nation, down to the present time when he was here upon earth. Having silenced them, they sent to him then the Pharisees and the Herodians to try to trick him in his talk with a question about paying tribute to another king. And then, having answered them well, came the Sadducees to try to stop him in his talk with a question about the resurrection. Having answered all of those, put them to silence, and assuring by the Scripture that God has promised a resurrection from the dead. We begin today with verse 32 in that chapter, where another scribe, an educated Jew, said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." I beg your pardon, I did not start at the right time at the beginning of that. We should have started at verse 28, where this same scribe said, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Then the reading that I just read, I'll read again. "The scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all thy soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offering and sacrifice. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. No man after that durst ask him any questions." Now, we want to go back to the beginning of that reading, to that scribe's question. What is the great and first commandment? Why did Jesus say the first commandment of all? The first of all the commandments, he said, is Hear, O Israel. He said it was the greatest. He answered this question here with three commandments. yet he referred to them as two. First was love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, our soul, and our strength. The second, he said, is like it, love our neighbors, ourselves. But the first of all, he said, was to give. Why did he say that? We want to keep in mind that at the time that this scribe asked this, they were under the law of Moses. And when they spoke of the law, they spoke of the Ten Commandment law, or the law of Moses, which included more than those Ten Commandments, but they had them Ten Commandments written on tables of stone. And none of what Christ said is a quotation from those Ten Commandments. But we turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, the 5th and 6th chapter. And we find there where Moses had come down from the mountain, which God had called him to give him the law to deliver the Israelites. And when he came down to deliver the law, including that Ten Commandment law, he spoke these words before he ever enumerated the Ten Commandment law that God had given him. I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and read the first verse after Moses had come down from talking with God in the mountain. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, these statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Now, before they could do any of the things that God had commanded, before they could learn or keep any of those commandments, what did they have to do? They had to listen. They had to hear. And before we can do and keep God's commandments and be pleasing in His sight today, that is why this is so important to this lesson, because it is relative, just as relative to our duty to God today as it was to the Israelites in that day. We must hear what God says. We cannot be pleasing and keep His commandments unless we know what they are. And we cannot know what they are unless we hear and listen to see what they are. Because as we read in the New Testament, particularly in the Roman letter, the Apostle Paul teaches us that it is by faith, through faith, that we're justified before God, that we have the forgiveness of our sin. And in Romans 10 chapter and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thus we must first hear what God's Word says, and then, if we believe from the heart and do it, we have pleased God. We have obeyed from the heart. But I want to turn into the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy while we're over there. After Moses had called these people together and told them to hear the statutes and judgments of God that he had to command them, that they might learn them, do them, and keep them, he said again, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 6, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Now this is how serious the Israelites were to take that law. They were to write them upon their hearts. They were to talk about them when they sit in the house. They were to put them for a sign up by the doorpost. They were to be as promptness before their eyes to lead them and direct them in all that they did. They were to teach them diligently to their children. That is why Jesus said, the first of all commandments is here. Before you start teaching, if people would only do that today, if the religious leaders of this land and country would only do that before they get up in the pulpit, on the radio and on TV and start teaching people how to live, if they just hear what God told Israel, the statutes and the judgments that God has made to us this day, hear what God said and teach His word, how much better off the world would be, religiously speaking. But what Jesus did was give them the very basics, the foundation upon which the law that God gave in that day to the children of Israel. He told them first to hear, and then He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Love your neighbor, as you said. And He said, there are no greater commandments than these. Now, these are not any of the Ten Commandments. We didn't read the Ten Commandments. But this is the foundation. This is what it's built upon. Matthew, in giving this same record, in Matthew chapter 22 and 40, said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The whole law of God hung upon these two. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandment law, we know was a moral law. That is, the letter of that law that they were to keep was a law that to govern their behavior. It was not a law of salvation. It had no remission of sins until Christ came and died, paid, sacrificed for sin. It only rolled their sins back. But it had a principle. And the principle upon which it was built was one of love. Love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul and our being, with all of our strength, and to love one another, as I said. Now then, we want to keep in mind that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't think that I come to destroy the law, nor the prophets, for I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. How did Jesus fulfill that law? Remember, He said, upon these two commandments that He quoted here, love God with all of our heart and our neighbors ourselves, hang all the law and the prophets. He said, I came to fulfill the law. We want to turn then to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. There note what the Apostle Paul said. Several statements here in the book of Romans. Chapter 3 and verse 31, the last verse in that chapter, he said, do we then make void the law through faith? Paul in this chapter and in the book of Romans tells us that it's by faith in Christ, not keeping the law of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, but by faith in Jesus Christ, they, obedience to His will, God's word through Him, we have the remission of sins. We are saved and have eternal salvation promised. But He said, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We want to go on now and further and ask, how do we establish the law through faith? Let's go back though first and read a few verses right here, beginning with verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. By faith, now let us notice, he said we're justified without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? The deeds of that law, that Ten Commandments law, didn't apply to anybody but the Jews, not even in the day that it was in force. Is he not also God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing is one God, which shall justify is circumcision, that's the Jew, by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Then, verse 31 says, we don't make it void. We establish that law. But let us notice Romans 10, chapter 4. Where Paul says, for Christ is the end of the law. Notice now, he said, don't think I come to destroy it. The law and the cross, I come to fulfill it. But here he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. How is Jesus Christ the end of the law? And how does he fulfill that law that hung upon the principle of love? I want to talk for just a moment on this word, end. It has four definitions in the Bible Concordance. It can mean a limit or a boundary, as far as anything goes, like at the end of a row of cotton. It can mean the termination or ending, to stop something, please. Terminate or the result of something. It can mean the death or destruction of something. It can also mean the aim or purpose. If we purpose, we have a goal, an aim in life, when we accomplish that, that's the end of that thing. Paul's statement in Romans 10 and 4 carries at least two of these definitions. Christ was the end, he was the fulfillment, the purpose, the aim of that law. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, I want to turn and say, after the faith has come, we are no longer, I beg your pardon, I want to go back to verse 24. Paul had asked the question, wherefore the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He had asked the question, what purpose then was the law? What use did we have for? He said in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Bring us, lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all one, you're all one, the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're no longer under that law. Christ then was the purpose, the aim. When he fulfilled it, that was the end of it in that sense. It was also the end of it in the sense of termination. He terminated, took it out of the way. As we read in Colossians chapter 1, I believe, let me turn, I was turned to it just then. And chapter 2 and verse 13, first we want to read, and then some more verses. Jesus said, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now we know that Paul was talking about none other than Jesus Christ, the only one through which God has promised the forgiveness of our trespasses, having forgiven us all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was prepared to us, against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So we see what happened to the law when Jesus had fulfilled it, finished it. He fulfilled its purpose, its aim. He terminated it. He took it out of his way, nailing it to his cross. But we want to talk some more about the fulfillment that he spoke of. How he fulfilled it, its purpose. In Romans 8 and chapter 4, we return back to Romans again, and there we see that Paul mentions the fulfillment of that law. And he talks about us, the fulfillment. He said that the righteousness of the law. Let us notice now, the law has some righteousness about it. Why? Because it hung on the principle of loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And he said that the righteousness, that is, the fulfillment of that law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we walk after the Spirit, then we fulfill the purpose of that law, which is to love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. And on that principle, he said, hung all the law and the prophets. Then turn to the 13th chapter of Romans, and first verse 8, then 9, then 10, Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And what was that? If we love one another, we fulfill the law. Why? Because the law said, love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, strength, and soul. Love our neighbors, ourselves. And when we love one another, then we fulfill that part of the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and there, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, all them ten commandments, they hung upon the principle of love. If they loved God, looked at him as the only God, had no other God before them, they would make no images, and worship any idols, and they would keep the Sabbath day that was commanded to them. They would love their neighbors themselves. They would honor their father and their mother. They wouldn't kill, they wouldn't steal, they wouldn't commit adultery, they wouldn't lie. They'd do all them things that God said. He said, for this thou shalt do these things. If they love God with all their heart and their neighbors, that's what I can teach about. If we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and strength, and love our neighbors, I said, we'll keep the law of Christ as we're commanded to do today. Upon those commandments hang the law and the prophets, he said. But now we want to notice further here, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now then, let us notice what Christ said. He came to fulfill that law. How did he fulfill it? By loving. By showing us how to love. God fulfilled it to us in Christ Jesus by showing us the true principle of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Then in John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. In the next verse he said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6-8, there we read, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Christ didn't die for the righteous. They weren't in the righteous when he came down here. And he said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how Christ fulfilled the law, prophets, all that God had said would happen. He fulfilled it. He showed us the way of love, not only commanding, but giving us an example. Then in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, after telling us about the new priesthood that we have under Christ, we read that the priesthood being changed, there is also of necessity a change of the law. When God fulfilled that, took it out of the way, fulfilled its purpose, its aim, terminated it, he gave us a new one. God, these last days, spoken to us by some. Whatever he said, that God belongs to us today. In chapter 5, verse 18, Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, the next verse actually said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." Let me turn and read that verse. Slipped my mind for some time. Verse 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." Still when? Some people read that verse past, the scripture stops right there. Jesus said in one verse, one jot nor one tittle would in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. But it's all been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled his purpose, his aim, he terminated it, took it out of the way, he gave us a new law. But now, as then, we need to hear. Why did Jesus say the first commandment of all is here, O Israel? Those people couldn't do what Moses was going to tell them to do until they heard it. They didn't know what he was going to tell them to do until they heard it. Why did Moses, when he came down there, call them all together? Why did he begin with the word here, O Israel? Oh, he has to hear it. We cannot do God's commandments. Do we know what they are? And we cannot automatically know what they are until we hear the word that God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ today. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Then, as Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he said, "Therefore, for that very cause, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received as just recompense of reward." Now, we don't believe it did. We can go back to the Old Testament and check the record to see that it did. But he said, "If that's so, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken to the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" By the apostles who had the Holy Ghost to perform miracles, to take up serpents, to do the signs that Jesus said would follow them that believed in him, to confirm that God's word was in him, that his gospel today is God's power and salvation to all that believe it. It was confirmed unto us by them. Then we're warned again in the 12th chapter of that Hebrew letter in verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not that refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we refuse or turn away from him that speaks from heaven." Today Jesus Christ speaks to us from heaven through the word that God has spoken to us by him in the New Testament. And we want to know that it teaches us obedience as well as hearing. We have not fulfilled its purpose when we hear. But when we hear, when we understand, when we do God's commandments, then we have fulfilled its purpose. In conclusion, I want to turn back to Mark just for one moment, and I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. In verses 32 through 34, we read, "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." In Hebrews, we read, and I can't remember exactly the chapter and the verse, on that quotation, but all of you, I'm sure, have read it, where Paul said, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared Jesus a body to give for a sacrifice for the sins of the world. That body was sacrificed on the cross. God raised it from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and seated it at his own throne, where today he speaks to us through the scriptures. And this scripture tells us that to obey is better than to sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, there we read where the prophet Samuel rebuked King Saul because Saul had been told to go down to the Amalekites and destroy that whole city, the king, all his residents, animals, and everything. He goes down there and destroys a bunch of it, brings back the king and some of the people, animals, sheep, calves, cattle. He met Samuel in the way and said, I've done the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel asked him, what meaneth then the lowering of the cattle, the blading of the sheep? And he said, I brought them back to sacrifice. But Samuel said, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. We can sacrifice our whole life in the name of religion, do it all the same. If we ignore the commandments of Almighty God, we must first hear what he says, believe it with our heart, and obey it from the heart. That is the only type of obedience God accepts and judges. Let us consider these things, and let us come back next Sunday, the Lord willing, and begin with verse 35 of this same chapter that we've been studying. I believe this will be our fourth Sunday to take this chapter, but I believe every one that we've studied thus far will be worth our time.